That wonderful old song, we haven't sung that in a long time, have we? Taken from Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And we sung that great hymn that we rarely sing, a God of Abraham praise. Abraham is our subject. Look with me to Hebrews 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10 with me. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I don't know if the title caught your attention this morning or not. Tent dwellers. Tent dwellers. That's what Abraham was, Isaac, Jacob. Tent dwellers. Hope that caught your attention. This may sound similar to last Sunday's message on Moses. Over in this same chapter, Moses, because same subject, faith. And it's the same faith, you see. Abraham, he's mentioned more than around 75 times in the New Testament alone. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Father of the faithful, that is, from his loins, from his lineage, his line, God's people came, his elect, Israel, God of Abraham. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is Israel. And what this is telling us is that God is the God of election, that God chose his people, whom he would. He chose Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And then his sons, two sons, remember? Ishmael and Isaac. Chose Isaac, right? And then out of his sons, Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved. God of election. God's people are his elect. His elect. And over in Galatians chapter 3, it says this. Galatians 3, verse 7. Look at this with me. Galatians 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that is, believe what Abraham believed, rather who? The same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So then, they which should be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, you are, if you believe, you are a son of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham. All right? Now, Abraham, as we said, is the father of the faithful, and he believed exactly, though, what Abel believed, didn't he? When the Lord gives those examples of faith in Hebrews 11, he begins with Abel, with Enoch, with Noah, doesn't he? Well, they all believe the same thing. They all believe the same thing. What did Abel believe? And I got stuck there last Sunday with Abel. But it's a good place to say. Abel brought the blood, didn't he? The very first example of faith, saving faith, was the blood. What did Enoch believe? What did Noah believe? What did Noah do right after he came off of that ark? sacrificed animals, blood. Shed blood. Abraham believed the same. Faith, now here's, some of you weren't here last Sunday, so you didn't hear this. And this will be repeated, but it's not grievous to me. All right? Faith believes God. Verse 6 here says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Faith believes that God is God. Not trying to be, but He is God. This is the first thing that God reveals to all His people. I am God, there is none else. I am the Lord, the living and true God. Faith believes God's Word. All of God's elect, like Abraham, Moses, they believe God is God. There is no other. That He's God. They believe His Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. Right? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with every one of God's people. That's what they say. Let God be true. His Word is true. Faith believes God's Son. These are the three things. Believes God is God. Faith believes God's Word, takes Him at His Word, regardless of what man says, and believes God's Son. Faith believes that God's Son is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Nobody gets to heaven but by Jesus Christ. That's faith. In a nutshell, it's faith. Faith believes. Belief means to trust. Belief or faith means to depend upon. Faith means to have confidence in. You remember Wednesday night, the watchword of the Reformation? You remember what the old Luther and all of them would say, John Knox and Calvin, remember? Remember what he said? Scriptures alone. This is what the Lord instilled on the hearts of all. He brought out a pagan, dark religion. Scriptures alone. God's Word alone. Grace alone. Salvation by grace alone. Not work. Faith alone. Christ alone. Commit that to memory. Some people died professing those things. They died. Burned at the stake. Standing at the stake while they burnt their bodies, literally, saying, no, sir, I don't accept what this man in Rome says. I accept what the God in heaven says. I believe God is true. Christ alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. Faith believes God. Faith believes God's Word. Faith believes God's Son. Nothing more, nothing less. That's faith. It's the faith of God's elect. Scripture says, the faith once delivered to the saints, meaning it's not of yourself, it's a gift. He gives it. Delivered to the saints. What saints? All of them. Beginning with Abel. For our sakes this morning, beginning with Abraham. He's called the father of the faithful. Because the way that God called Abraham is the way He calls us. Every one of us. You remember us looking at that? Abel, Enoch, Noah. We all, in the same way, go through the same call. Well, Abraham was called by God. Look at verse 8. It says, God, by faith, it wasn't of himself, but God gave him this faith when he was called to go out. When he was called to go out. Scripture says, out of darkness, out of death, out of idols. Abraham was an idolater. He was raised in a family full of idolaters. They had a God, but it wasn't the living and true God. It's a God that their father believed and somebody made up. It wasn't the living and true God, Brother John. Idolater. God called him, brought him forth, turned him from his idols to do what? To serve the living and true God. I just quoted 1 Thessalonians 1. He does that for all of his people. All of them are called out of their idols, out of their father's house. Just because dad believes it doesn't mean it's so. It's so because God says it. He said, who God is. He left his city. He left his country. He left the world. And the gospel call is the same today. Come out from among them. I quoted that Hebrews 13 to you. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Do you read Brother Rolf Barnard's article in the bulletin? He said in that article, there was an old faithful gospel preacher who came barnstorming through this southeast. He heard the gospel from him, and every church we know of is a result, an indirect result of that man coming, God sending a John the Baptist into the southeast with this message of sovereign grace to a bunch of idol worshippers. That God is God. And come out from among them, bearing his reproach. Old Brother Barnard bore his reproach. He did. He was literally thrown out of towns and so forth and beaten up. Left the world. Gospel call, come out from among them. Gospel call is out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of ignorance into knowledge. Out of tradition into the truth. Out of pagan man-made religion into the truth of God. Out of the world into the kingdom of his dear Son. Out of self into Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. And that gospel call, says Scripture says, whom he did foreknow, that is, he loved before. He loved Abraham before he was born. Before, long before that, before the world began, he loved Abraham. Set his affection on Abraham and said, one day I will call that man. He was 75 years old. Well, like our dear Virgie. She was a daughter of Abraham, wasn't she? In fullness of time, God called that old woman to himself, just like Abraham. Come out. It says Abraham obeyed. When? When God said, get out. There in Genesis 12, that's what it said. Abraham went out. Why? Because God had said, get out. He wouldn't have come otherwise. Because he's the good master and his sheep come. Good shepherd, his sheep come when he calls them. And it says in verse 8 of our text, it says that by faith he went out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. He obeyed and he went out. And, you know, it's as I said, it's not as if Abraham deserves honor for obeying, nor do we, do we? Because it is God who works in us, both to will and do. And it is God that by his power makes us willing in that day, doesn't it? All right. It says, he said, come out. And Abraham departed. Bless the sovereign, powerful call of the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful gospel call. When he calls, you obey. Or else we would not. When he says get, you get. When he says go, you go. When he says come, you come. When he says sit, you sit. When he says lie down, you lie down. Blessed be his name. When he says repent, you will repent. When he says believe, you will believe. When he says call on me, you call. Salvation's of the Lord. All right, what did Abraham believe? What did he believe? Go back to John chapter 8 with me. Our Lord himself tells us what Abraham believed. He was talking to a bunch of sons of Abraham, they thought. John 8, all these fellows claim to be sons of Abraham, but they're not if they don't believe what Abraham believed. John chapter 8, look at it. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Verses 30, well, they answered him, verses 39 and 40. These are the Pharisees. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were children, Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. What's the first work of God? What did the people say? John, what did they say to him? What must we do to work the works of God? What did he say? This is the work of God, that you believe on him. First thing God called Abraham to do was to believe. When God said, get out, he didn't say, but why? But I don't want to prove it. He believed, then to John. He believed. No questions asked. And the Lord explained it to him after that. But he believed God. Look down at verse 56. Look at this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Christ said, Barbara, Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, the coming of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw it, and he was glad. Verse 58, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What did Abraham believe? He believed Christ. He knew, he believed, he rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't it? When God revealed him, listen, this is how he saves everyone. Same as he did Abraham. When God called Abraham, he revealed to him, I am God. Abraham says, I didn't know you. I had one. He wasn't God at all. Thou art God. When God revealed himself to Abraham, he said, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. Now you know who God is, the one that does the choosing. You didn't choose me, did you, Abraham? No, sir. No, sir. Thank you, God, for choosing me. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. When God Almighty revealed himself to Abraham, he said, I will give you a son who will be born of God, a son of promise, in whom all of my people will be called. Isaac? Christ. Christ. Just like God, you know, God told Adam who that seed of woman was. This is the seed of Abraham. Paul over in Galatians said, no, that seed is Christ, son of promise, in whom all of God's people will be blessed. And that son represents God's son, that Isaac, who will come live as a substitute. And one day God revealed that by experience to Abraham. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it all. He was so glad. It was the best news he'd ever heard. And he that day, he experienced it. Grace is an experience, not just the head knowledge. He may have had it in his head a little while, but one day, found over in Genesis 22. Brother Walter Gruber once said, if you can't preach from this, you can't preach. Just give it up. Over in Genesis 22, the Lord said, Abraham, take your son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and take him up onto a mountain and offer him as a burnt offering unto me. And that's all he said. So Abraham saddled his ass, rose up early, got two men with him, got his son, got the wood, lit a fire on a stick, got the wood for a burnt offering, a fire, and he and Isaac started up that mountain. And they went up to that mountain, and on the way up that mountain, are you telling me Abraham doesn't know the gospel? On the way up that mountain, Isaac, his sons, who knew more than most people, he said, Father, Here am I, son. He said, Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Father, we're going to worship God. We can't approach a holy God without lamb, without the blood. There's no remission of sin. We heard this, Father, from Adam, from Abel, from Enoch, from Noah. We've heard this all along. Lord, Father, we have to have a lamb for a burnt offering, a substitute. Father, where's the lamb? Abraham said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Jehovah Jireh, that's His name. Okay, Dad. And off they went. And they went up onto that mountain, and Abraham took his son, whom he loved, his only son, and bound him, his son who was free, his son who willingly offered himself, his son, he bound him with cords of love, cords of a man, and put him on that altar, and took the knife and started to plunge it into his beloved son's breast, and lo and behold, a voice from heaven cried out, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Touch not the lad. Now I know that thou lovest me. And they looked. Abraham heard bleating of sheep, a cry of a male lamb, a ram caught by his horns, by his own power, in a thicket behind him. And he looked and he saw Jesus Christ, the substitute. And he laid hold of that ram and he untied his son. Isaac goes free. He lays hold and apprehends this sacrifice. Isaac doesn't have to die, but this ram will die. And he took and he laid that ram on that altar and he killed that ram, and that ram died. But now Isaac live. By the shedding of that ram's blood, Isaac goes free. And they both went down that mountain that day praising God for His substitution, for sending somebody. He didn't know His name was Jesus, but he knew He was the Christ, the substitute, the Messiah, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Yes, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Christ said. He saw it. Oh, he was so glad. My son's alive because that ram was killed in his stead. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. In the stead of substitution. Substitution. In Isaac's stead. Oh, my. That's what he believed. That's who he believed. Who he believed. Oh, my. Now go back to our text in Hebrews 11. Now here's how he lived. He lived by faith. He lived by faith. Look at verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. By faith he sojourned. The word sojourn means to dwell as a guest, to be a foreigner, to be a stranger. It means wherever you stay, you don't own it. You're a guest there. You've been given permission, but you're just passing through. That's what sojourn means. And it says, he and his son Isaac and his Jacob, all who were heirs of the same promise, they all dwelled in tents. They were tent dwellers. Tent dwellers. Abraham never erected a permanent dwelling place. Can you imagine? I laughed at this and thought, oh, my. You imagine what a hardship that would be. You ladies, Sarah did too. You imagine trying to keep a dirt floor clean all the time. All that picking up and moving. You think we've moved a lot of times, Mindy? Sarah Moore. Lots of times. They move. Pick. No, we're not moving again, surely. Yeah. Here we go. Why? Why? Because this is not our home. You see what we're going to get at now? Tent dwellers. All the children of Abraham are tent dwellers. You read with me, with Brother Wesley, the Feast of the Tabernacles. I hope you listen carefully. As a blessing, it says everyone born in Israel would observe this Feast of the Tabernacle, tents, booths. Everyone born in Israel would do this. And everyone born again is a tent dweller. Tent dweller. Well, here's what the Feast of the Tabernacles were. What? Okay? After the Passover, that was the first feast, Passover. You know, when the Lord brought them out. And, I want you to turn back there. Leviticus 23 that he read, so you need to look at it again in case you missed it. Leviticus 23. But after the Passover, the Lord ordered that all the Jews would erect tents, booths they're called, little booths, little tents, little temporary dwelling places. And later on, you read with him how that when they were in Jerusalem, had homes in town, says they put them on the roof, remember? Or out in the court, they had a yard, they'd all put their little tent up in the yard once a year. Put a little tent up in the yard. If you had a house in town, no yard, you put it on your roof. And they'd sacrifice the Passover, and everybody'd sit in their little tent and eat the Passover. And it says they all just had such a big time. They just loved it. Why? What's this all about? It's not just some little superstitious, traditious ordinance or ceremony. Look at it. It said in verse 42, Leviticus 23, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, little tent, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And back in our text, it says, they are all strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All these that live by faith, they were strangers and pilgrims, sojourners, passing through. And they that believe what Abraham believed declare plainly that they seek a country, another country, whose builder and maker is God. They would desire a better country, a heavenly. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. He had prepared for them a permanent dwelling place. So that's what they did. They were to have these little tents to remind them that they're passing through. Yes, you've got a home that you live in, but it's not your permanent home. Boy, was that made clear to us recently, Brother Mac, Brother Kelly, was that not painfully made clear to us when we went to Pikeville? Oh, a little rain. Just a little rain can wash it all away. All these things that we accumulate, God giveth us all things richly to enjoy, but we can't keep them. It is certain, Job said, that we can take nothing with us. We brought nothing into this world. It's going to pass away. When we were down there, everything they had in their, nearly everything in their home, everything nearly in the church building was piled up in a pile almost as high as it was as high as the gutters on the church building, covered with filth, refuge, garbage, hauled away, worthless stuff. I came away from there deciding I was going to put a little sign up in my garage, in my workshop, everywhere I could see it. It says, it's just stuff. It's just a bunch of stuff. And what about this? This is a tent, an earthly tabernacle that we're all going to lay down, aren't we? When John and Rick and I erected that tent. Did we drive those stakes, Rick, down to the ground? Mm-mm. No, we didn't want to do that. Never get them out. The old saying, don't drive them too deep. Fact is, we did, didn't we? As the fact of the matter is, being ignorant tent erectors that we were, the first one we really erected, a real tent, man's tent, we drove them too deep, didn't we? About didn't get them out. Thankfully, the ground was wet. But the old saying, don't drive your stakes too deep. Make it mighty tough. Get them out. Brother Scott Richardson talked about the things of this world are a rose. It's beautiful to look at, to enjoy the fragrance and smell and all that, but don't grab hold. Cause you great pain in letting go. You can't keep it. Can't keep it. Passing through. All this is stuff. But you know, our Lord, here's the gospel to it. Says He tabernacled among us. He took a tent. Now, this is written of in Leviticus 26, is written in Revelation 21, that the Lord tabernacled among us. Took a tent. Temporary dwelling place, didn't it? I stopped and thought about that. What happened to the body that the Lord Jesus Christ took when He came here? It didn't see corruption like ours, did it? What happened to it? Well, somehow the Lord changed it. He didn't have any beauty when He came. Just an old brown tent. And the reason being, when there's no beauty in Him that we should desire, no comeliness, just an old brown skin tent. A brown skin tent? Does that sound familiar? A brown skin tent? That's a tabernacle in the wilderness. Huh? That was a temporary thing. That's where all of Israel had to go to worship. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was seen on the inside. The Holy of Holies on the inside. But you know, that tent is no more. But you know, there is a temple right now in heaven itself. Not a building made with hands, but a glorious person, a glorified Son. He, that tent that He dwelled in, that brown skin tent, one day God Almighty gloriously changed it into His beautiful body that He now dwells in, whose face is as the sun shining in all its strength, and feet as brass. And it says this, and we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, be dissolved, and it will be, some sooner than other, we have a building, a new body, made not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. And in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven itself. And it says, God will dwell with them. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them and wipe away all tear. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. God with them, us, Him and His glorified body, we and our. And that's what we look forward to. Paradise of God. Mentioned that tree. You know, Christ is that tree of life, isn't it? In whose leaves are 12 manner of fruit for the healing of nations. Well, here's a good hymn to close this message with. Hymn number 588. We're marching to Zion. 588, the last line says, let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, the fairer world on high. Tent dwellers. Stand with us. We're going to sing it the old way with the chorus, okay? 588.
We'll sing the first and last verse.
Come we that love the Lord.